Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
It is such an honor to be here with all of you this morning on behalf of Stephanie and Bob and myself. It is such a privilege for us just to be on campus with you here today and to see just from the little that we've got to experience so far and to experience the excitement, the passion, the discussions around King Jesus and his kingdom. And so, Dr. Voorhees, thank you for the invitation to come and just be here and for us to visit, and to the staff for everything that you're doing here too. And to the students, thanks for letting us bombard you and hang out with you. And we're looking forward just to spending some time with you. If you've got the time, or you know, around lunch or afterwards, we'd love just to hang out and just get to know you a little bit and just share with you a little bit too about what we sense God is doing. I just want to briefly introduce what we believe Jesus to starting in Portland and expanding beyond. The name of our organization is Expand Northwest, and really this is the vision that we sense that God is inviting us to participate and to step into right now. We want to partner with as many kingdom workers as possible so that we can connect as many people to King Jesus and to a great, healthy, Jesus-centered church. We love Jesus, we love his church, and we love the kingdom of God, and we love what God is doing really all around the world right now. But this is our heart, this is our passion, is we just want to come together and connect with other kingdom workers so that we can see people who are disconnected from Jesus have this relationship with Jesus of both an eternal relationship and an abundant relationship that starts today. And we want to see the church thrive. We want to see just people falling in love with the church. And we want to see the church just continue to reflect the glory of who Jesus is. And so we get to do three things that we really sense that God was just inviting us to participate in. Number one, we get to come alongside and we get to just encourage leaders. We just get to love on pastors. We get to love on ministry leaders. We just get to ask them, how are you doing? How are you doing with Jesus? How are you doing within your marriage and with your family? And how can we pray for you? And how can we just encourage you to keep doing what God has asked you to do faithfully and boldly? Secondly, we get to come alongside and we get to participate in training and making disciples. We can reproduce themselves so that others can reproduce themselves so that we can see disciples making disciples that will make disciples into all the generations, into all the nations. Amen? And I know that's why you're here as well. And lastly, what we get to do is we get to help partner with kingdom workers, with other churches and with other church organizations to start new churches. And God has opened up a variety of ways for us to do that. This year, we're actually in Kachungwa, Uganda, working with a variety of pastors that want to see the kingdom come and that want to have discipleship training opportunities as well. Bob and Stephanie and I just got back from Springfield, Massachusetts in New England doing a prayer journey where we get to help start a new church in that work. According to Barna in 2019, Springfield, Massachusetts is the least biblical-minded city in the nation. So we tend to argue with that stat in Portland, but we'll trust Barna right now for that. And then we get to help start churches, you know, just here in the Northwest as well. And you're going to just get to meet Bob and Stephanie as well. But this is the verse that really became pivotal for us in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And I'm going to do my best to get through this with you this morning without tearing up. Bob and Stephanie and I, and along with other leaders, have committed ourselves praying at 9:38 a.m. and 9:38 p.m. And we're praying for God to raise up workers for the harvest. And it's such an honor for us to stand here and to look on how God is answering that prayer. And so we see in this passage that Jesus went throughout all the towns and all the villages, and he was teaching in their synagogues, but he was also proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And he was healing every disease and sickness. Notice Jesus was both proclaiming with his mouth the words of the hope, but also demonstrating with the deeds that the kingdom of God is now coming, heaven on earth meeting together. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. His heart began to break because they were harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, listen, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of people that are without the hope of King Jesus and don't have the beauty and the benefit of being connected to a godly church family. And so he gives the disciples the strategy as he reminds them the harvest is plentiful, but it's actually that the workers are few. And so he gives them this strategy, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers to his harvest field. And so that's what we have been doing, and that's what we've been asking God to do, and just raise up kingdom workers for the harvest. And I don't need to convince you that the harvest is plentiful. I'm sure each of you have your own story and have experiences of how you can think about how the harvest is plentiful, maybe in your family, in your friendship groups, in your city, in your neighborhood. But let me just share just a couple general statistics. And keep in mind that these stats were taken before COVID. And so I think these stats are now blown out of the water, and there's gonna be brand new data coming out. But as of right now, there are an estimate of 1.5 million people in the Portland metro area that identify as religiously unaffiliated, that they're identifying as nuns, not as in like Catholic nuns, N-U-N-S, but as in like nuns, like they don't claim to believe in anything. Now, are all those people not believers? I don't know, but there's a pretty good chance that majority of those people, of the 1.5 million people in the Portland metro area of seven counties, that don't have an understanding that there's a God out there that loves them. 7 out of 10 churches in America are in decline or in plateau, according to Exponential Church Planting Organization. 4,000 churches in America close down every year, with only 1,000 churches opening, according to church leadership. Again, that was pre-COVID. The numbers now are even more alarming of the church closures that are taking place. According to the Joshua Project, if we were to zoom out from our nation and look at the world, 33% of the world's population have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. It was an honor. We were sitting in the evangelism discipleship class just before coming here and hearing this discussion about how to engage with people and begin to have spiritual conversations around Jesus. And I was reminded of the statistic from George Barna that he quotes, that 9 out of 10 people under the age of 40 that are far from Jesus are not interested of stepping through the front doors of a church building in order to explore their spiritual curiosity. What once used to be an open door, an entryway, is no longer really the front door. But the other side of that statistic is that 6 out of 10 people under the age of 40 are willing to sit down and have a spiritual conversation. And so we thought to ourselves, then how in the world do we help encourage and equip every Jesus follower to become a reproducing disciple maker so that everyone knows how to have a spiritual conversation with their next door neighbors, with family members? This is why I'm so excited that we get the privilege and honor of working with Bob and Stephanie, the pastors of the Bridge Church. I just wanna ask them just to come up real quick. And they planted their church in 2019 in a city in Oregon known as Wilsonville that has the reputation that this is the place where church planters come to die. But I'm excited about what God is doing as these two are encouraging and equipping a body of Christ to engage in spiritual conversation. So Bob, Stephanie, share with us just real quick.
Yeah, we'll be glad to talk to a preacher's voice for right now. It's great to be with you. Yeah, Bob and Stephanie Johnson, we're a church called The Bridge in Wilsonville, Oregon. And honestly, I've been in ministry for 30 years, lead pastor in various places, but this has been quite the ride to be part of the church plant and to begin spiritual conversations with people in a broken and lost world. I love the testimony.
Yeah.
We are broken people. But then to watch God flex his muscles in brokenness is life-changing. And so to be a part of that in our own life and to be a part of that in the lives of people who are broken in our community is exceptional. We love being on campus here. We love you guys. I am the uncle of Ashlyn Correctby, so I am here today to make sure she's in good hands. And she is. I'm so proud of being a part of this and for Ash to be here as well. Love you.
Yeah. So we're excited to be here. We're going to be staying through lunch. Sean, to go back to that Matthew 9:38, it's amazing because what we've been praying for, we get to see right here sitting in all these chairs, which just warms our hearts. It's such a God win. And so we want to meet you. We made friends with Micah, which, by the way, like, that's the best person to make friends with is the barista on campus. It's like always a good thing. We've met Lucy and some others, and we want to meet you. We want to come and encourage you. Ask us questions. We're super tickled because we got to come out here and squeeze Ashlyn's neck, but we want to squeeze yours as well. So come talk to us at lunchtime.
In a loving way.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, I think. Yes. Awesome. Love these guys and what God is doing. And we're praying that God, we want to continue to partner with Boise Bible and raising up interns, residents, church planting. The vision that God has given to Bob and Stephanie is to become a church planting training center to raise up and to send out more workers for the harvest. And so I hope that we get to spend some time together this afternoon. So with our short time remaining, I asked Dr. Voorhees if I could just share with you just something that the Lord has been teaching me personally on my journey with Jesus. I've been following Jesus since I was 15 years old. And I love the theme that you have for this year. Simply belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, out of our overflow, we are going to become servants of King Jesus. I don't know if you recall the passage. You remember this in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is predicting his death for the third time. And he's telling the disciples, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have to go and die on the cross because this is why I've come. And I don't know what your response would have been as walking with Jesus in thinking about, like, okay, he just got done telling us for the third time this is what is going to happen. But we have this encounter with a couple moms who come to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, thanks for that, but we've got a favor to ask of you. And Jesus is like, okay, what's your favor? She's like, well, we want our sons to sit on your right and on your left. And I can just imagine Jesus going, did you not just hear me? I'm about to go to the cross, and you, as moms that want the best for your kids, are asking me for your kids to sit on the right and the left. And he's like, well, can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And I'm like, yes, we can. And she's like, actually, you will drink that cup also. But for me to decide who's going to sit on the right and the left, that's already decided by my Father. And as a result, I don't know if you recall in Matthew 20, but the disciples, the rest of the disciples, hear about this conversation. Do you recall the story? And they were upset. I mean, wouldn't you be too? And this is what Jesus said. So they were upset with him. And so Jesus calls them all together in Matthew 20, in verses 25 through 28. This is what he said. Jesus called them together and he said, do you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them? Not so with you. Not so with you. You know the Lord of the Gentiles, this is what they do. No. Not you. This is not the life that I'm calling you to live. If you're going to belong to me, we're going to live a different life. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but instead to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus is reminding his disciples, like, listen, this is not the way that I need you to live your life. When you belong to me, it means that there's a life change, and it means that we begin to live our life as a servant. In fact, because Jesus has served us through his death and his burial and his resurrection, as a result of that, we belong to them. But now we seek to expand God's kingdom by living a life of serving others for God's glory. But I have a question for you this morning. As we look at that concept, and in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is introducing this concept that if you want to follow me, you have to become a servant. But later on in John chapter 13, he introduces another little piece. And here's my question for you just to wrestle with this morning that I just wanted to propose for our time together today. Where do you need Jesus to wash your feet? I don't know if you ever thought about that question. Is there an area in your life right now where you need Jesus to come into your life, into your world, into whatever's going on emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, spiritually, and come in and wash your feet? If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13, and we'll look at this passage real quickly. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And here's a statement that is still wrecking my world. John says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. When I first read that, I'm thinking, well, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to love them to the end. But I think what John is reminding us is that Jesus is going to love them to the end by washing the disciples' feet. And then the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And I just want us to stop there and recognize the evening meal was already being put in place. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and is returning to God. And so Jesus gets up from the meal. He takes off his outer clothing. He wraps a towel around his waist. And after that, he pours water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. You probably know that in that culture, there was typically a slave sitting at the door that when you walked in, they would wash your feet. It would happen at the very beginning, not in the middle of the meal. But here they are in the middle of a meal. Jesus stops what he's doing, and then he gets down, and then he unrobes himself, and then he begins to go around washing his disciples' feet, showing his love to his disciples to the very end. Well, he came to Simon Peter. He said, Lord, you gonna wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later, Peter, you're gonna understand this. No, absolutely not, said Peter. No way, you shall never wash my feet. Can you just see Peter just kind of throwing a little temper tantrum right now? No way, Jesus, that ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless you let me wash you, you don't belong to me. Well, then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He's like, bring it all on, Jesus. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, their whole body is clean, and you are clean, not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And as you go through the rest of the passage, you begin to hear Jesus teach, like, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should go wash one another's feet. And actually, if you know these things and you do them, you'll be blessed. back to Matthew 20. Yes, we are not called to lord it over. We are called to be servants. But there's something that happens here with Peter that stops me in my tracks and just says, why in the world did Jesus take time to wash Peter's feet? And why was Peter saying, no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet? And maybe have you had the same response in your life? Can you picture yourself as Peter where Jesus is coming in saying, I want to wash your feet? And you're like, absolutely not. No way. I'm here to serve King Jesus. I'm here to expand the kingdom of God. And Jesus saying, listen, I am here to help serve you and wash your feet as well. Maybe there's a sense of pride that stops us and says, nope, I don't need that. Maybe there's a sense of guilt. It says, no, Jesus, you can never do that. Maybe there's a sense of shame that says, no, 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 you can never wash my feet with my brokenness and what's happened over the last 2 years. Maybe there's a disobedience. Maybe there's not this surrender to a lordship of who Jesus Christ is. And so I just wanted to ask you the question. Where do you need Jesus to show up and wash your feet? Don't get me wrong, we're stoked that you want to be kingdom servants for Jesus. But I learned once again that if we want to follow King Jesus, that part of belonging to him is letting King Jesus come in and minister to you and wash your feet and love you and be with you. I lost my father to COVID in February. Wrecked my world. I came home. I didn't know what to do. I tried to get back into just loving people and serving people and encouraging leaders and training disciples and planting churches. And I sat in my living room numb for a month. I'm like, God, what is going on? How do I get over this? And I sensed Holy Spirit whisper into my ear, will you let Jesus wash your feet? No, Lord. I'm the executive director of a church planting organization. I'm here to encourage leaders, train disciples, plant churches. Would you let Jesus wash your feet? And so I just wanted to come and share with you what God has been teaching me as a kingdom servant, that Jesus is making this invitation open to each and every one of us, whether you're a student, staff, regardless of where you're at in your journey, where Jesus is coming and saying, would you let me wash your feet? Because Jesus is serving us, we can continue to seek the kingdom, but sometimes we just need to stop and say, yes, Lord, and surrender and receive what Jesus wants to give to us. So to end our time together, I just want to invite all of us just to a time of prayer. Would you just be willing to maybe clear your laps, close your eyes, Maybe just as a posture of being willing to receive, open up your palms and would you just, if you're at a place right now where you need Jesus to come in and wash your feet, would you just invite him to come in and do that? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for the love that you have for us. It's so good. God, we praise you for your kingdom workers in this room. We thank you for the dreams, the ministries, the hopes that you've placed on their heart to expand the kingdom for your glory, God. Thank you for their heartbeat to be servants for you, King Jesus. But Father, our prayer this morning is simply, Jesus, would you come in and wash our feet? Father, for my sisters and my brothers, wherever they may be at, whatever may be going on, whatever struggle, whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever addiction, whatever question, whatever doubt, whatever emotion is going on, Jesus, Jesus, would you come in and wash our feet this morning? Love you, Father. Thank you for raising up kingdom workers to go into all the nations so that more people come to know about you, the abundant relationship and the eternal relationship that's offered through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I pray that you'd bless my brothers and sisters today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask all these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.